Psalm 46, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to the Almoth, a psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
There will not be a quiz. That's maybe what you're thinking. That's right. Dear Father, Lord, I ask this morning, God, that your word would do your work through your power in your people. God, I ask that your word would be a blessing to us, encouragement, the strength. Help us turn our hearts towards you. In the name of your Son. Amen. Several years ago, I was called into my boss's office. I was working for the federal government. We were having some funding cuts. But I thought I would be safe, that my job would be safe. And I was wrong. My boss looked at me and she said, I'm so sorry. Position has been eliminated. Tomorrow is your last day. I was devastated. Laura and I had fairly recently bought our first home. Asa was just a couple years old. Laura was staying home to care for him. And all the things that I put my trust in, my career, my plans, that all sort of came crashing down. I was really afraid. And maybe you've had a time like that. Maybe something worse, a diagnosis that you didn't expect, a relationship that crumbles without warning, a disaster that shapes your world. Sometimes it feels that life itself is unraveling. And when it does, what do we do? You know, in our culture, we're always tempted with distraction, right? You know, when times are hard, maybe I can just watch a lot of TV, bury myself in my phone, bury myself in my work, substances. But whatever the distraction is, when it's over, I'm still facing that same problem in the face. Now, as a Christian, I know that God is in control, that he'll get me through. But sometimes on really dark days, if I'm honest, it doesn't feel like that. Psalm 46 is written for times like that. Times when the ground gives way beneath our feet, Let's read the opening verses together. You're looking at the Pew Bible. It's on page 471. Psalm 46. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God's strength fortifies my faith. When I have times that my faith seems weak, God will strengthen my faith. You know, the psalmist begins with this truth. He says, God is our refuge and strength. Notice that little word, our. This is not my personal God. He's the God of his people, of all of us. And he is our refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. It's a shelter in the storm. It's a strong tower in the battle. And not only is he our refuge, but he is our strength. You know, I'm facing a problem, and I'm thinking about my strength. I can really despair. What can I ever do? But God's strength is infinite. In light of this, what do we do? What does verse 2 say? It says, therefore we will not fear. We don't have to live in fear, even if the very earth gives way. Even if the mountains crumble into the sea, the psalmist is painting this picture of complete chaos, of creation itself collapsing. And even then, we don't have to fear, because our safety does not rest in our strength, but in God's. Now, how do we do this? How do we take refuge in God's strength? I think the first step, at least for me, is to have a very honest prayer. Pray that there's something like, God, I don't know what's going on. This seems very bad. You are my refuge. It's just that real honest prayer. Second, I think we can look to our community. Remember that little word, our. He is our refuge. God did not design faith to be lived alone. I can look to my community, right, and ask people to pray for me, to share their wisdom, to share their encouragement with me. That's how I take refuge in God. And third, I think it means, trusting the situation to God. You know, taking refuge doesn't mean hiding. It's not cowering away. Rather, it's simply being, I can't handle the storm anymore. I need to go into a shelter. I pray, you know, God, I trust you. How this turns out. Even if it doesn't go the way I hope, I know that you're my safety. God's strength fortifies our faith. Look at verse 4. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God's strength holds my hope. When times are hard and I feel hopeless, God's strength sort of comes along and helps me hope. It's interesting, the Psalms in verse 4, the situation goes from chaos to calm. He says, there is a river. This is interesting. In the ancient world, rivers were really important. Rivers were sources of, obviously, of water, of commerce, of protection. The city of Jerusalem, God's city, had no great river. It was like Dallas. If you've been up to the Trinity River, you would be sorely disappointed because most of the time it's like a glorified ditch. And this is what the city of Jerusalem was like. In fact, about the time this psalm was written, King Hezekiah built an underground tunnel to bring water in so that the city couldn't be sieged and cut off from water. You can still see the tunnel. It's still there today. There was no great river in Jerusalem. So it's interesting that the psalmist says there is a river. There's a hidden river. What does this river do? Whose streams make glad the city of God. The river doesn't just bring sustenance. The river doesn't just bring relief. The river brings joy. Sometimes in hard times, it's difficult to remember that ultimately God, even in this hard time, is going to bring joy. That a day of gladness is coming. This isn't more than a poetic image, it's a promise. God himself is in the midst of his people. He is our supply, our life, our joy. For us today, that river points forward to Christ, the living water who supplies our, who satisfies our thirst, and the Spirit who dwells in us. It also points forward. If you turn in your Bibles to the very last chapter of the Bible is Revelation 22. Revelation 22:1 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city." So there's a day coming when there is a river in God's city. The river of life flowing from God's throne. In other words, God not only gives me refuge for today, he secures my hope for tomorrow. Nations may rage, kingdoms may totter. They always have, and they always will. But God's voice is stronger. He speaks, and what does the earth do? It melts. His word accomplishes his will. So when everything around me is uncertain, there is an invisible power, an unshakable kingdom, holding me fast. How do we build this kind of hope for dark days? So I think it's a good idea to sort of prepare to remember. What do I mean by preparing to remember? I think that it's a good idea to do something where I basically make a list of the ways that God has been faithful to me in my life. So maybe I put it on a little card and stick it in my wallet or my purse. Or maybe I put a note on my phone of ways that God has been faithful in the past. And then when that hard day comes, and it's not a matter of if, but when, I take out that list. And I remember all the ways God has protected me in hard times. One of my seminary professors used to say, God's actions in the past are both a pattern and a promise of how he'll act in the future. But he's far too creative to do the same thing in the same way twice. God's past faithfulness fuels my future hope. God's strength holds my hope. Let's look at verse 8 in Psalm 46. "Come behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." God's strength prompts my praise. See, the end result of God's provision of strength should be my worship. The psalmist in verse 8 sort of calls us towards the day of God's victory. He says, "Come behold, come and see. Look what God has done. He's made the wars to cease. He shatters the weapons of the world." This image of chariots. Chariots in the ancient world were very feared weapons. They were like the strongest, most feared weapon you can have. What happens to the chariots? Left in ashes. God's strength, the things we fear most are no threat to him. And then it comes to this famous line, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes this verse, you know, is put on like a coffee mug or something like that, and we think, oh, you're saying, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Be still and know God. And there's a truth to that, for sure. But in this context, it means something more, doesn't it? You see, this command has kind of bi-directional, going two different directions. To God's enemies, he's saying, "Be still!" And the nation's quiet. And to my heart, he says, "Shh. Be still. And know that I am God." And he will be exalted in all the nations. He'll be lifted up. He'll be praised. That's God's promise. And it's certain. So what do I do while I wait? to do this amazing thing. We worship. Praise shifts our focus from fear to faith. In the Psalms, there's this group of Psalms that we've categorized as we call Psalms of Lament. Psalms of Lament are like sad day Psalms. Things are bad Psalms. And they kind of have a pattern in general. They kind of go like this. After the psalmist sort of pours out his heart, he lays out his grief, all pain is out and open. There's this thing called the vow of praise. He's basically the psalmist in the Psalm of Lament says, God, this is really, really bad. And one day I will thank you for the rescue that you're going to do here. You see, worship is the language of faith in the waiting. Sometimes it means singing, sometimes it means journaling, sometimes it's just raising your hand and saying, God, you are good even now, even here. And worshiping in a storm might seem counterintuitive. And it certainly isn't easy. I know from personal experience that this can be powerful. I remember a time a number of years ago, a particularly difficult time. A difficult time caused by my own poor choices. And God sort of gave this song, At Never Once by Matt Redman. It's a great song. That was really meaningful to me. It was an encouragement to me. God's strength prompts our praise. Psalm 46 says that God strengthens in three ways. He strengthens our faith. He holds our hope. He prompts our praise. And in Christ, all three are true for us. He is our refuge. He is our living water in our midst. And one day he will put an end to every war and be exalted among the nations. When I lost my job years ago, I remember going back to my desk and saying a silent prayer. To be honest, I don't remember the words of the prayer, but I do remember how scared I was. But God was faithful. Looking back, I can see that time I got laid off was probably the best thing that ever happened to my career. At the time, I felt like the earth was giving way. But God was my refuge. He still is. He's your refuge. He's with us. And he will be exalted. As we prepare to come to the table for communion, this is an act that we do together, right? Because God is our refuge collectively. It's a time when we partake of Christ's body and blood because he is our living water. He's in our midst. As you come forward, we'll form two lines, take a piece of the bread. Consider the situation you might find yourself in today. How do you need to look to God to be your refuge and your hope, your strength in a difficult time? Or how do you prepare now for the difficult time that is around the corner? After we all take a piece of bread, then I'll come up and we'll eat it together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us. For being good to us during difficult times, during hard seasons. Father, I pray that we look to you as our strength and our refuge, knowing that often you provide what we cannot, a time when we feel helpless and hopeless. Father, help us look to you, help us look to each other in these times that do come. Name.